Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution and production made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. One of the most valuable services rendered by KPP is free. There's a way KPP Financial can help you evaluate the risk in your current retirement portfolio. All you have to do is answer a few questions online when it's convenient for you and begin the analysis process. Then, if you'd like, the folks at KPP Financial can correlate those results with your risk comfort level and the risk that's actually in your current portfolio. It's all free, and it all begins on investtalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab. End of commercial. Now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It is December 13th, 2016. We're rapidly coming to the end of the year. It's going to be 2017 pretty soon. And we're all about above average investing for the average investor. So we're here to be a resource to maybe help you expand your decision-making skills, giving you some perspective on today's money marketplace and answer some questions, financial questions you might have. Today we're going to talk about mismatch between the complexity of financial decisions we have to make and our own financial knowledge. So that's going to be our talking point. Five things you likely have wrong about investing. Five things you likely have wrong about investing. Now, as we move closer to the end of the year, the speculation is heating up about the Fed raising rates. Remember, they're meeting now. Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to raise rates. I mean, we're talking 99% sure. So how do the changes in the federal funds rate affect the U.S. dollar? I mean, it's such a minor change, but they're probably going to raise it only 0.25% from 0.5 to 0.75. I mean, that's how small it is. So does that change anything? All it really is telling us is the direction has changed, but it's painfully slow change. I mean, microscopically slow change in the Fed's attitude. But is that going to change with a new president? I want to talk about that in more details later on. So in the past years, since 2008 financial crisis, the Fed has maintained a pretty, almost a zero rate, Fed fund rate of zero. That's no longer going to be the case. Hasn't been the case since last December when they made the first change. So the Fed uses rates as a way to speed up or slow down the economy. The Fed uses rates, moving rates up and down, as a way to control inflation. That's what it's all about for the Federal Reserve, increasing or decreasing rates. Now, this got all distorted in the financial crisis. It got all distorted because the Fed lowered them so dramatically down to zero. Never had that happen before. So that's what the Fed is doing with rates. And try to remember, they only control one rate, the federal funds rate. They don't control your mortgage rates or how much a bank charges in interest for making a loan or what the bank pays in dividends or yields to savings accounts. They have no control of any other junk rates, corporate bond rates, what corporate bond rates are. They don't control any of that. None of that. They do not control rates at all except for one, the federal funds rate. And what is the federal funds rate? That's the rate that when banks come to the Federal Reserve to borrow money, that's the rate. So if a bank wants to borrow money, goes to the Federal Reserve, I'd like to borrow, you know, $1 billion. The federal funds rate is, okay, you're going to pay 0.75 or 0.50 interest rate for that money. So the bank takes the money and then lends it to you and me for, you know, 5% or 3% or 8%. So as the federal funds rate increases, the bank has incentive to raise rates to their customers because their cost of funds is going up. That's it. How about inflation? So how do these rates change inflation and how does it affect the dollar? How does it affect your portfolio? Do you know? We're going to talk about that, hopefully in more detail. Let's open up the discussion right now to include you. As always, we're up for any money questions you might have. So let's begin with the Q&A portion of the program. Let's go to our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
I got a question. Well, first off, when you talk about the Consumer Confidence Index, what exactly goes into that index?
It's a pretty simple thing. I think it's called the Michigan Consumer Confidence, Michigan something, some college. They're the ones, I think, it's a survey. How do you feel about the economy? What's your confidence? It's asking people, consumers. They ask a series of questions. And I don't know exactly how it's constructed, because I never looked at it, but it's merely what the consumer thinks and how they answer the questions. And they score it, and they give it a score, a number. That's it. Nothing magical about it. That's just it. That's one of the reasons why I don't like it very much. Because what if you're taking a survey just after, a worldwide disaster like the nuclear tidal wave that wiped out Japan's and caused massive problems there with their nuclear power plants. If you ask them right after that event, it's on everybody's mind, their confidence is going to be low. See, consumer confidence doesn't translate necessarily into consumer spending, which is really key. You want to know what the consumer is doing, not what they think. What they think can change. But when they spend money, that's hard evidence of what they're actually doing. Okay? Good question, though. Five things you'd likely have wrong about investing. That's going to be our main talking point. I also want to discuss the Fed meeting that's going to be ending tomorrow and what they will say. I want to talk about that a little bit more. And, China backed several electric car company startups here in the United States. You know anything about Lucid, Lucid? It's taken on Tesla. Thought that was kind of fun to talk about that a little bit. And where are the retirees moving to and why? And this is a survey of affordability, low taxes, great weather. Those are the reasons, cultural, recreation events, those are the reasons they're moving. But where are they going? And where are they leaving? I find that leaving states. What states are they going to and what states are they leaving? I find the leaving states pretty interesting. So those are what we're going to talk about today, unless, of course, you want to talk about something in particular, and that's hopefully you do. The Dow is up 115, the NASDAQ up 51, and the S&P up 15. Notice that the Dow is now approaching 20,000. 20,000. And can anybody tell me, really why this rally is happening? I mean, it's all about, after Trump got elected, the market started to rally. Because the market likes what he says. What he says he's going to do, the market likes it. Thinks it's going to be very positive. But there's no change in the economy. I mean, he has no effect yet. What if he can't get through the plans that he had? Or let's say he puts through all the things he wants to do, and it doesn't change the GDP numbers. It doesn't change the economy. And we go more in debt. See, it's all about what people think. Driving up this market. Certainly isn't about earnings, because that's not here yet. We don't know what the earnings are going to be like. Very interesting phenomena going on. Of course, it is the best time of the year. December, January, February, October, November, December, then January, February, March. Those are the best 6 months of the year. And October, if you remember right, I said on this very show, that October always seems to mark the low of the market. Low of the market, but we didn't have much of a low. But it certainly marked the low, right? I mean, if you go back, take a look at the S&P 500, and you go back to October, and you see that it was right at the end of October, right at the beginning of November was the low of the S&P 500. And then as soon as Trump got elected, and I was noticing the market was poor August, September, or October, the market just kept going down slowly, a little bit faster going down. And remember, everybody thought Hillary was going to win. I thought she was going to win. The market was acting, Hillary's going to win. The market didn't care for it very much. As soon as Trump won, we had overnight the market went down 1,000 points, but the next day opened up and started marching up since then. It didn't even it just moved up, and it has moved up consistently since then. I would be so curious to know if Hillary won, what would the market be doing? Do you think it'd be having the same reaction? I didn't think it would. I thought we'd have, if she won, I thought we'd have a correction at that point. But I also thought I thought either one really won, there would be the correction. Either one. That's what I thought. And it tells you, the market does what the market wants to do. You can't predict it. It's impossible. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. Any questions that you might have, any question financial is on the table. Rears, mortgages, insurance, real estate. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener line.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I have a question on Gilead, G-I-L-D. It's been falling. I bought at 79. So would it be good to continue to hold or wait until it comes back up? Thank you.
Well, Gilead Sciences, GILD, I think you continue to hold. Develops therapeutics to treat viral, fungal, respiratory. We've talked about this company quite often. It's pretty inexpensive. They had a lot of bad news this last year, this 2016, come out about the company. But the sales and earnings are fine. Sales have been slowing a little bit because of the bad publicity they got about expensive drugs. But the price, based on if they're going to make, last year they made $12.61 a share. This year they're going to make $11.47. Next year they're going to make $10.86. And that's one of the reasons why it's gone down, right? Lower and lower earnings. But $10.84 for a company per share for a company is $74.84 a share. Well, that's about, 7 or 8 PE? It's fairly cheap. They have some debt, but not a ton of debt. Really good return on equity of 113%. So I think it looks like it double bottomed around $72, $73 a share, and it's bouncing off of there. So I think you hold on to it. Unless it breaks below its recent lows it made 3 or 4 days ago, which is a double bottom that it made. Made that same low in November, then in December. So it's a double bottom, and now a double bottom usually can be fairly strong. If it breaks through that double bottom, I think you just get out and leave. But while it's still bouncing off it, I think you hold on to it. GILD. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what are some of the myths, busted myths about investing? What are some of them? One, you know what you're buying when you buy an ETF. People think when they buy an ETF, they know what it is. First of all, ETFs are, especially ones using derivatives, are extremely complex, convoluted. It's very difficult to know what you own. It's not that simple. If you own an ETF that buys the S&P 500, ETF index fund, then you know what you own. There's a massive amount of them that don't. Here's another myth. Stocks are risky. Well, if you're talking about a broad equity index, it's hard to say, they're going to go down with the market, up with the market, but they generally go up with the earnings of the companies, and the earnings of the company go up with the GDP of the country, and if that's moving forward up, then the risk is quite small over long periods of time. How about third one, bonds are safe? That is so wrong. Bonds can be very risky if interest rates are moving. How about stock investing is easy? We're talking about individual stocks? Very complex. It's not easy. I wish it was easy. It's just not. And finally, options are speculative and dangerous. It depends on how you use them. In and of themselves, options are not speculative and dangerous. It's how you use them. Don't use leverage. Don't. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART, is live between 4 and 5 Pacific Time, 888-992-4278. This is Invest Talk.
Hello, my name is Donald from Charlotte. I'm calling to ask what needs to be checked off before purchasing the stock, and I want to get your idea on ETF Total Market, ITOT. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, this is an exchange-traded fund. Buying stocks is fun. I don't have a problem buying stocks. I like buying stocks. But you do have to buy a group of them. You can't just buy one or two or four or five. You need to have a good spread of different sectors of stocks. We like to buy 30 to 35 or so. You need to have a good diversified portfolio. You can do a 20, but under 20 is getting pretty hard. Now, ITOT is iShares for the core S&P total U.S. market. It's an exchange-traded fund corresponding to the Standard & Poor's Composite 1500 Index. So it's 1,500 stocks, 1,500 biggest stocks. So it's basically most of the market. So there's absolutely nothing wrong. It's broader than the S&P 500, which is a pretty broad, which represents 80% of the market. So the 1,500 is matching almost, more than that. So it's a very broad index. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with owning a broad index. It gives you a great diversification. ITOT. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I do have an email question. Hi, Steve. This is a question for your InvestTalk podcast. Fall of Amazon. I've started to notice a shift in purchasing directly from Chinese websites versus Amazon. Banggood.com, AliExpress, Alibaba. I've also noticed Banggood.com are offering more shipping choices from their in-country warehouse. So what is your opinion of this trend? How would you position yourself to benefit if this trend continues? Thank you for your great show. Look, Amazon, it was first, it is the biggest, and it is probably the best, but like any other leader, everybody's going to chase it. Everybody's going to try to shoot it down. Everybody's going to go after it, right? So I just think, you're going to have competition come around, and some of them are going to be successful. Some of them will fall by the wayside. Won't matter at all. Of the group you mentioned, I think Alibaba is probably the biggest and the best of that group. But Amazon will have successful competition, just like Apple came out with their new phones, mini touch screens, and everybody was whining that, the keyboard's too small and people couldn't touch the right letters and they wanted a raised keyboard. And of course, then Amazon took over, and then as soon as they started to explode in cell phones because those complaints were worthless, then all of a sudden everybody else copied, and now they have tough competition. Amazon's going to have the same thing. It's just the nature of free economic efforts. Everybody's going to go after the most successful ones. And that's another reason why it's very difficult for small startup companies to compete with the big boys. It's difficult for them. So I'm saying that I like Amazon. I think some of these competitors are going to do well, and we're just going to have to live with competition. It's healthy. It's good. Amazon is way overpriced, by the way, in case anybody wanted to ask me that. It's way overpriced. But appreciate the question. Thank you. 888-99-CHART. The Federal Reserve is meeting right now. We're going to have the decision out tomorrow about 11, 12 o'clock. I don't know. And the decision is probably going to raise the rates. They've been feeding us that information. They've been telling us they're going to raise the rates. Remember, beginning of the year, they were going to raise the rates much more than just once. But here we are down to the last meeting of the year, and they haven't raised rates yet. So the chances are very high they're going to raise rates, like they did last year in December, which, by the way, I think is a mistake. I think they should have raised them 6 months ago. Why not? Why are you being so slow? And I don't think it's all about our economy, which it should be, but the Fed's keeping its eye on all the economies, and other economies around the world are suffering. And as our rates go up, that makes our dollars stronger. And I think the Fed's watching all that, and I think they're nervous about raising rates. I don't know why. I think they just do it, but. They're going to raise rates most likely tomorrow. What will that do? And one of the things they're ignoring, I think, is the new Trumpism. When Trump comes to be president, they're not going to talk about it. They're not going to mention it. They're not going to say, you know, with a new president coming in, then we're going to they're going to ignore it. They're going to be apolitical. They want to try to be apolitical about this. And so they're going to raise rates because they see economic conditions improving. That's what they're going to say. They're not going to talk about Trumpism. So they're going to raise rates from 0.5% probably to 0.75%. That's it. Okay, and they're just going to say because conditions warrant it. Of course they're going to say that, right? And really, conditions do warrant it, by the way. If they were really brave, they'd raise it half a point instead of a quarter of a point to 1%. But they're not that brave. Not going to happen. We're open to your money questions and comments. 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and I'm glad you're with us today, and you're listening to Invest Talk.
We thank you for subscribing. Reverse head and shoulders, Fibonacci support levels, wide range reversals. There are many chart patterns that investors and traders can use to identify likely moves in the market. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have instant access to knowledge, chart lessons designed to give investors an inside look at the technical analysis aspect of investing. To join up for free, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. You're listening to InvestTalk, made possible each day by KPP Financial, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. And now it's time for you to do the talking. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Cindy in Redwood City. How are you doing, Cindy?
Good. I have a question about the company OfficeTech. What do you think about it? Because OPHT.
Okay. Do you want to buy it, or you already own it, or you work for them?
I own it. And I'm thinking
about
it more.
Okay. OfficeTech Corporation is out of New York, New York, developing therapeutics to treat diseases of the back of the eye, including wet age-related macular degeneration. Okay. It's a very small company, $183 million company, so it'd be a micro cap. We'll call it a micro cap. And it loses money. It lost $3.06 last year, it's going to lose $5.07 this year, and it's going to lose $4.04 next year per share. It only has, Cindy, I would not buy more. They don't make any money.
Okay.
It doesn't look like they're going to make any money. I would not own, they have negative cash flow. Now, they announced negative results from phase three trials. Negative results. And what did that do? That dropped them from $35 all the way down to $5 because they don't have anything to sell. It was all a story. It's all about a story stock. You know, these are what we call story stocks. They have a story, and if the story turns out, fine. But many times a story doesn't turn out because their story is the one that they're telling you. They're the ones telling you the story with their press releases and things. So they're not going to tell you bad news. They're going to wait till the bad news has to be told. And this one, phase three trials, I would not buy this stock. I would not own it. Okay, Cindy?
Would you get out of it?
I would see if we get a bounce. You might get a bounce, but I would get out of it, yes, because it's not going to make any money.
Okay.
Thank you, Cindy. Right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, you know, it's just not. The story was good up until their phase three trial announced yesterday, that doesn't really work. Their phase three trial is not working very good. Uh-oh. Phase three is the very end. You go through phase one, phase two, phase three. Phase three is the human trials. I don't know if you know that. Of a particular new drug or treatment. The human trials. First two are not. They're with animals or just in the lab. But the third phase three is all about human trials, and they test it to see if it really does work. And sometimes they work great in the lab and on animals, but doesn't work so good on people. This happens. It's tough. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? Love to talk to you. By the way, that company was OPHT, Opthetech Corporation. Okay, China had started a number of years ago before the financial crisis. They invested in a number of startups here in the U.S. for electric cars. And now they're doing it again. They have funded a startup called, I don't know if you heard this company, called Lucid Motors, L-U-C-I-D. It's in Silicon Valley, Lucid Motors. They're now taking orders for their Model S car that's going to be produced in 2018. It's a luxury car. They couch it in terms of competing with Tesla and their luxury car. So they're coming out with a brand new. Now, if you go to their website, which I did, L-U-C-I-D, Motors, to see, well, let's take a look at the car. You'll see no pictures of the car. You get very little information on their website about this. It's a nice, professionally done website, but there's no real information on it. So, but, you know, Tesla, I bring this up because, you know, you have these startups going after Tesla, just like Amazon we talked about before. You're going to have Ford, GM, Toyota, Hyundai, every other car company is going to be coming after Tesla, just like everybody's coming after Amazon. Tesla has the lead. They have a really sharp car. But don't think that's going to last forever. Other competition is going to come in. And again, remember, I think competition is very good. You want competition. Helps keep prices low for us, me and you, the consumer. And it keeps the companies sharp, staying on the cutting edge, trying to anyways. So just let you know, Tesla is a great company. I'm not, you know, and I've said on this show many times that I think Tesla is going to be the next big car company. The problem is I don't necessarily see it being the next big car company with the current stockholders. That means they could file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, come out of Chapter 11 because they have so much debt, come out as a much cleaner and leaner car company, but you, the stockholder, gets wiped out. And now they have new stockholders in the new company coming out of Chapter 11. The new Tesla. That's what GM did during the financial crisis. Stockholders got ripped off royally. Ron, San Jose. How you doing, Ron?
Good, Steve. Thanks. Hey, Steve, I wondered what you thought about Facebook for a kind of a longest-term investment.
I kind of, long-term, I like Facebook. Long-term, if we're talking long, they make money. They've been making money for 10 years per share. They're going to make $4.09 this year. That's almost 80% more than last year. They're going to make $5.21 a share next year. That's another 27% more than this year. Sales growth are 50% or more per quarter. I like all those things. And it's not nearly as expensive as it has been. It's now at a fairly reasonable price, $120 a share. Now, when I say fairly reasonable price, I'm talking about its own history. Its own history, five-year PE ranges from 31 to 88, and today it's 33. Okay? By a time, you know, at $5.21, the PE is now going to be 25. So I kind of like it. I kind of like it in this price area as well. So, you know, if I can complain about it. There's certain things I don't like about Facebook, Ron. And one of the things I don't like about it is its model is sell advertising, right, Facebooking. And that model, you know, kind of turns off people when there's too much advertising. You know how, think of yourself on your phone. Do you want to see a bunch of ads? And that's how Facebook makes money. So it's a difficult thing. I like Google's method better because you do searches for websites, and that's how they make money. But it fits right into their advertising. They sell to the websites, and the websites pay. I kind of like that business model better than Facebook's. But I like Facebook where it is right now. Okay, Ron?
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Gene in North Carolina. How you doing, Gene?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were talking just recently about phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials for
yes.
drugs.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to make a slight correction. Sure. Phase 3 is the major trial that, if they get it approved
right.
through the FDA, they can get the drug marketed. But phase 1 and 2 usually do involve human subjects.
They do? That's news
they
to
do.
Me.
It's just that it's the only test for phase one. The only test for safety, not for efficacy, whether the drug works. The only test to see if the drug's tolerated or if the person vomits or has some kind of adverse event.
Uh-huh.
The ones that the trials that involve animals are usually called preclinical trials.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you can see I don't have a lot of knowledge. On that.
Yeah, so phase 1 and 2 are with people. It's just it's a smaller number of subjects, and it's usually just for safety and just the very first instances of efficacy, whether the drug works. But it's not enough to get it approved.
I see. So phase 3 is total efficacy of how well the drug works on people.
And still safety, of course.
And still safety. Okay. Well, I appreciate
yeah,
that.
And it's with a large enough population, they can do statistics on it.
Gene, I appreciate that information because that's vital information, and I appreciate the correction. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you. So, phase 1 and 2 can involve people and does involve people, but only for safety. In other words, it doesn't hurt you. They're looking to see if it's going to not hurt you. Phase 3 is where they do to see how good the drug works. And he says, and I have no reason to doubt him whatsoever. So that's good information. I always thought phase 1 and 2 did not involve people, but there you go. What do I know? I don't know everything, that's for sure. That's one of the reasons I love this job, by the way. You learn all kinds of new stuff. I'll try to remember that. 888-99-CHART is time for our InvestTalk 101. How much do you really know about Roth IRAs? How much do you really know about all IRAs, regular and Roth? So we're going to have a little bit of quiz. In order to take advantage of these programs, Roth and regular IRA programs, you have to follow a number of federal tax rules, both when putting money in and when taking money out. So here's the question. Your upfront contributions to a Roth IRA are tax deductible. True or false? The upfront contributions to a Roth IRA are tax deductible. True or false? That's false. They're not tax deductible. A traditional IRA, they are tax deductible, but not a Roth. You get no tax deductions for putting money in a Roth. Next question. You can withdraw your contributions from a Roth IRA tax-free right away, but there are restrictions on withdrawing your earnings. Is that true or false? Can you withdraw contributions from a Roth tax-free right away? Can you do that? The answer is true. Yeah. You can withdraw your contributions immediately, but you cannot withdraw your earnings from that investment. That, you have to wait till you're 59 and a half years old. Next question. There's no age limit for contributing to a Roth, as long as you or your spouse have earned income to contribute. True or false? True. You can be 100 years old. As long as you're making income, you can contribute it to it. Last question. There are separate annual limits for contributing to a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA. True or false? False. The annual IRA, whether it's traditional or Roth, the annual IRA contribution in this year is $5,500. And if you're over 50, it could be $6,500. End of story. Now you can split up $3,000 a regular IRA, and $2,500 in a Roth IRA. You can split it up, but total, can't. That's your InvestTalk 101 today. Hope you learned something about that. It's kind of interesting, don't you think? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
Sometimes you need a fresh start, or at least a fresh look at your retirement planning. Is it still right for your current life situation? Each month, Steve sets aside some time to talk with listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolio, offering some ideas and solutions. It can be done by Skype or telephone. If you'd like to reserve your hour to look over your documents and hear some suggestions, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Daniel in Palo Alto. How you doing, Daniel?
Hi, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Just had you've been getting a lot of medical calls. Yeah. I had a question about Abbott Laboratories. I think the symbol is AB.
Okay, you want to buy it?
I own some shares of it.
Okay, Abbott Laboratories. It's a big company, everybody. $58 billion. It's not small. It's not. It developed genetic pharmaceuticals, diagnostic system, nutritional supplements, and vascular type of products. What I like about it, it is big, blue chip, solid company. It's not going to go anywhere. They have, they're going to grow their earnings 3% this year and then 10% next year. And sales are growing about 3% a quarter. Nothing exciting. They pay a 2.7% dividend. That's not exciting either. But I think it's at a fairly reasonable price, right where it is. It looks like it's tested about $37.50. It looks like it's tested that low and keeps bouncing off of there. So I think you've seen the low. It's at $39.44 today. So if you own it, you're going to hold on to it. It's not something you sell. That you hold on to this guy. He's fine.
Okay, Steve. Thank you.
So don't worry about that. Just don't expect, Daniel, don't expect it to be a huge winner for you. It's probably going to go back up to, low 40s, 45 maybe. Probably go up there, but it'll stay in that range for a while. I don't see it bouncing, doing much for a long time. But at some point, you keep holding on to it for 10 years, you'll do very well in it. Thanks for the call, Daniel.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Where are the retirees moving to? What state? And why? And more importantly, where are they moving from? That's going to be the talking point, my last talking point for the end of the day. Let's go to Ken in San Jose. How are you doing, Ken?
Great. Thank you, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question is, one thing about a company, the symbol is QBio or Q Biomed?
Q, give me the symbol, QBIO?
Bio, QBIO.
Okay, let's take a look. Huh? I'm not having anything come up under QBIO. QBIO. Enter. No. QB. Let's see if I can find it. What's the name? The name of the company.
QBiomed.
Okay, QBiomed. It's not coming up. I don't have anything on it. Is it traded on the New York Stock Exchange?
Yes, it is, and I owe some shit.
Well, it's not under QBIO. It's not under that. So I can't see it. Sorry, I can't help you. Call me back or send me an email, and I'll look it up for you. I really appreciate the call. Thanks. You're listening to Invest Talk. If you have a question, we can talk live until 5 p.m. Pacific time. We're going into our last segment, 888-99-CHARGE, our anytime listener line, and we're here for you. 888-99-CHARGE, let's talk to Walter in Berkeley. How you doing, Walter?
I'm doing good, Steve.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
My question is, can you open a Roth IRA with the proceeds of the sale of your primary residence?
Yes, you can, as long as you have earned income also. Do you have earned income? If your answer is no, then you can't open up an IRA. You got to have earned income of at least for the amount. Let's say you made earned income of only $6,000. You can put $5,000 in an IRA. See, but
okay.
But yeah, you can. The money doesn't matter where the money comes from. It just, you do have to have earned income. Okay.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Harish in Santa Clara. How are you doing, Harish?
I'm good, Steve. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
My question is about Teva, this pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
T-E-V-A. I've been looking at monitoring this from a chart point of view for some time, and it seems to have hit its very long-term bottom. So
yep.
I was wondering if you can just throw some light from a fundamental point of view to see how the company is doing, and is there any chance of this going up significant in the next maybe couple of years from now?
Yes. I talked about Teva, T-E-V-A, Teva Pharmaceuticals is out of Israel. I talked about it on Friday, I think it was. It's a $34 billion company, and I said it looks like it put a bottom in. And obviously, the last couple of days, yeah, it has, because it keeps moving up. It was up 1.1% today. I think that it has put in its bottom in 6 days ago. And I don't know if you know anything about candlestick charting, but it looks like a doji.
Talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's like a doji happened 5 days ago, and it was a doji to the upside. So I think that this is the bottom it put in back then. I think it's a long-term bottom. And with a P.E. ratio of 7, with a 5-year range of P.E. of 7 to 13, and with the sales growth growing 15% last quarter after being shrinking for a couple of years, I think they've turned it around. I think this is where it looks attractive. Really looks attractive in here. TEVA, everybody. It's an Israeli developer of generic drugs. And it's big, $34 billion. Thank you, Harish. So, yes, I think it's a good buy. James in New York. How you doing, James? James? Oh, we lost James. Well, I guess that's good because now I get to my last talking point. Where are the retirees going to and why? Well, the reasons are affordability, low taxes, weather, culture, recreation, opportunities, those kind of things. But I think it's more interesting where people are leaving. Number one state that people are retirees are leaving, is New York, followed by Illinois, followed by California, followed by Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Now, I can see New York, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Jersey all weather-related and high-tax areas. California, not weather-related. It's all about high taxes and expenses, I'm sure. But where are they going? Number 10, Delaware. Low property tax, very low property tax in Delaware. Number 9, Tennessee, low taxes in Tennessee. Nevada, climate, low taxes, one of the 7 states in the United States that doesn't have an income tax. Number 7 was the big surprise in this list is Oregon, because Oregon has high taxes, expenses. I mean, maybe because of the recreation and maybe because of the culture, because it's very pretty up there, there's a lot of things to do. Maybe that's why. Number 6 is Texas. Great job market, great climate for a lot of people. Too hot for me, though. Just letting you know. Too hot. Number 5, North Carolina. Very low cost of living in general, North Carolina. Plus, it's nice. The weather, it's cold, but it's not that cold. Number 4, Georgia. It's all about low taxes in Georgia. Number 3, South Carolina. Low cost of living again. Good, much better weather there than in North Carolina. Number 2, Arizona. Mostly because of the dry weather. But it gets pretty hot in Arizona. Yeah, but there's some really nice in northern Arizona, nice country up there. And number 1, Florida. I don't know why. I would never live in Florida. Sorry, I can't handle the summers. I've been there during the summer. Can't handle them. Too hot. Too many bugs for me, too. Can't handle the bugs. The time is up for this hour. Remember, a cornerstone of sound investment portfolio management is an accurate understanding of risk. The risk you're comfortable with and the risk that's actually in your portfolio. What is that? And you can use our free risk analysis tool to find that out. It's right there on investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And I, along with Justin Klein, and everybody else at KPP, thank you for listening today. Please join us on Wednesday. Love to see you tomorrow. And we'll be here. Why don't you join up again? Yeah.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis. and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.